Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everyone, and welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. This is Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson along with the amazing
William Hall from TanakhTalk.com. Thank you for letting me join you, Rabbi Yitzhak. Love the show, man.
Not just from TanakhTalk.com, but also from the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Yes, so today is Zootopia, am I correct?
Zootopia, yeah.
We're getting into it, man.
Yeah, we're going to talk about animals. We're not talking about me and you.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, so the title of today's show is What's All This Monkey Business? And you're going to find out that there are many different things related to the month of Adar. So we're going to talk a little bit more deeply about the month of Adar, which is called the month of Marbim Basimcha, this idea of increasing, the month where we increase our joy. But in Kabbalah, William, there are said to be different things related to each month. There are one of the letters of the Hebrew Aleph Bet related to the month of Adar. There are zodiac signs related to each one of the months. There is a tribe of Israel related to each one of the months. There is even human organs, each one of the human organs connected to each one of the months of the year. And the amazing thing is that in the month of Adar, we don't just have one month this year because we're in the leap year. We actually have 2 months of Adar. We have Adar Aleph and we have Adar Bet. So we have not only 1 month of joy, but we're supposed to increase our joy for even more for 2 months. So we're going to talk about elephants and we're going to talk about monkeys and all of this monkey business. It's going to be a very interesting show. It's going to be a fun show and it's going to be a show where you need to learn how to laugh. So you're not going to want to miss it. Stay with us. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about elephants and monkeys here on the Science of Kabbalah.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire news, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, don't forget Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Monkey Business. Hey, you know what, Rab? When we first started this whole journey of Science of Kabbalah and all this other stuff, and people ask the question all the time, what is it? Why is it so important to learn Kabbalah? And I'm telling you, as each week unfolds, it's becoming more and more obvious to me what I think the most beneficial reasons are. And that really is to give a person greater understanding of Torah, greater understanding of the nature of God. And this, I could almost say the secrets within the Torah, because as you begin to explain these things and how they're certain things are attached to certain other things. And when you see what those things are and how they relate, it really makes your mind just go, wow, I never saw that before. And that's what we're doing right now. We're giving you that aha moment. That's the whole point.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you feel that way. And I'm hoping that our listeners feel that way as well. So let's get into it here. Before we get into the whole idea of the monkeys and the elephants, you know, one of the things that I said earlier was this idea of Marbim Besimcha, this idea of that it's the month where we increase our joy. And sometimes it's difficult, William, because in the month of Adar, and Adar is always the last month of the Hebrew year, and it's always during the winter time, and it can be cold, and it could be cold, and it could be rainy in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense, it could be a very cold and depressing time for people. And when we're talking about this idea of increasing joy, we're not just talking about kind of the fleeting joy of, like, say, a party or having a wedding. Because there's also people that are going through things in the physical sense. People are mourning. I saw somebody on Facebook recently that, you know, lost a son, and that she and her family are comforted. And we see this all the time in Israel. We just had a young woman in Yerushalayim that was brutally murdered in a terrorist attack during this month of Adar. So you kind of ask yourself, how are you supposed to increase your joy in this month, especially a family like this that lost a member of their family?
Right.
And this is where it gets into this, these concepts that we always talk about that I kind of call dualities, and you like the term parallels, and I think both of them work. And it's related to this difference between physicality and spirituality. In Hebrew, what we talk about is the difference between this concept of gashmiut being physical pleasures, and ruchniut, this idea of the ruchniut being spiritual pleasures, so to speak. Spiritually, also with the Aleph Bet, we talked about that there's a letter connected to each month in the Hebrew months. And the letter for the month of Adar is the letter Kuf. Now, the letter Kuf is related to two words in Kabbalah, also related to the month of Adar. One of those words is Kedusha, which is holiness, and the other word is Klipot. And Klipot means shells or husks. And it could also, Klipa is also, can mean peel, related to fruit. My wife was recently buying some fruit for me at the local store, and the shop owner was mentioning how thick the Klipa was on this piece of fruit, on this orange that she was buying for me. But in Kabbalah, klipot is usually related to the impure side, the side of impurity that we call it. And these are the impure shells, the klipot. Now, why do we have this, again, a duality of the parallel between Kedusha and klipot? It's said that in the month of Adar, William, we have kind of this symbolic paradigm where we're able to overcome the impurity. And there's no greater symbol of impurity than the idea of Amalek. And we're going to see how this concept of Amalek plays into the letter Kuf and is connected to the month of Adar as well. Amalek, we know, was one of the biggest enemies of the Jewish people. We know that even after the idea of the redemption from Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt, all the nations, it said that all the nations of the world had seen the great things that Hashem had done, but Amalek came, and in spite of this, Amalek attacked kind of the back of the camp, those people that are straggling along, the elderly and so forth, and came after the weaker people of Bnei Israel. And as a result, both physically and spiritually, Amalek has always been seen as the enemy of Israel. And sometimes you hear people talk about the spirit of Amalek. Well, the other thing that we see in the month of Adar, that it's related to the holiday of Purim. And when you think about Purim, you think about Haman, or who we call Haman. Everybody goes, you know, everybody stomps their feet and does the groggers. We call them groggers, noisemakers, when his name is mentioned in Megillat Esther, in the book of Esther, when it's read. But Amalek is also related to Haman, because Haman is related to Amalek. So we have all of these different connections that we need to talk about. And where we find this is in the book of Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is called the Book of Formation, and it's actually the first book of Kabbalah that came out even before the Zohar HaKadosh. And it's attributed to Avraham, that Abraham Avinu, our first patriarch, was said to be the one that brought out the Sefer Yetzirah. And this is where we learn about all of these different things that I mentioned, the letters related to the month, the zodiac sign related to the month, the tribe of Israel related to the month. And even, William, there is said that each one of the organs of the body is related to one of the months on the Hebrew calendar. And as I said, the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that the letter for Adar is the letter Kuf, and that the Koach, or what we call sense, S-E-N-S-E, sense, is this idea of laughter. So what really is the significance of these? I mean, the letter Kuf, like I said, is related to Kedusha and Klipot, and it's said that the Kuf is the only letter, excuse me, when you see a line, if we were to put a line down, or you look at a Sefer Torah, the Torah scroll, when it's opened, you can see where the Sofer, the scribe who writes it out, he writes on a very specific line. And the Kuf is the only letter that dips below that line. And it's related to that idea of our ability to overcome the Klipot during this month, that Kedusha can overcome the Klipot in this month. Now, we're supposed to fight and be able to try and do that all during the year, but it's said during this month we have a greater ability to do that. Now, you know, I also always quote, and I love quoting Rav Ashlag, who's called the Baal HaSulam, the master of the ladder. And when I talked about that duality between the idea of physical pleasures, the idea of Gashmiut and Ruchmiut, which is called spiritual pleasures, the Baal HaSulam, Rav Ashlag, said this: Gashmiut, everyone wants, but once you have it, there's no feeling of fulfillment. So in other words, everybody wants these physical pleasures, but then when you get it, there's no idea of fulfillment through it. But Ruchniut, this idea of spiritual pleasures, really nobody wants, but then when you have it, there's really a deep sense of fulfillment that comes over you. And it's really this idea, when we seek after physical pleasures, that we're connecting ourselves to this idea of the spiritual side of Amalek. Why? And I told you I would explain how it's connected to Adar and to the letter Kuf. If you break down that name, Amalek, the Hebrew word Ayin Mem Lamed, which is the first three letters of the name Amalek, means Amal, to toil or to labor. And so you have this idea of Amal Kuf. You have this idea of laboring or toiling to expose the kuf that's related to this idea of the material world, the physicality. This is why the Midrash teaches us that Amalek scoffs at so many things, scoffs at the idea of us keeping the mitzvot, scoffs at the idea of us, the idea of circumcision and Brit Milan. And this has been true of so many of the enemies of the Jewish people over the centuries that have tried to stop us from keeping the mitzvot and from doing circumcision. Even now, William, there's an amazing fight that's going on that can be attributed, I think, to the idea or what we call the spirit of Amalek. I don't know if you've seen it, but right, constantly I see in the news this fight over circumcision, for instance. I even have somebody in my family that recently had a child, and they were they're not observant, and they were getting into an argument over whether or not to circumcise their child. So we see that concept still going on even in the world today. How is this connected further to the month of Adar? Well, as I said, Adar is the month of Purim. And there's an amazing connection in the Gemara, in Tractate Chulin, which is the section of Gemara that we're all learning right now in the idea of the Daf Yomi. For those that don't know what Daf Yomi is, Daf is a page and Yomi is the day. So there are people who try and learn a page of the Talmud every day, and that's called Daf Yomi. And we're in Tractate Chulin right now. And it's related to a verse in Bereishit, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, to the second part of the verse where it says, Hamin ha'etz asher tzivitecha livilti achal mimenu achalta. And it's when Hashem goes to Adam and Chaiva and asks them the idea of who told you you're naked, and have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? So we read in Megillat Esther, in the book of Esther on Purim, and we learn that Haman had everything that a person can want in the natural world. He had status, he had wealth, he had grandeur, and he had honor. Yet when he saw Mordecai refusing to bow, he said that everything was worth nothing to him. And this is the same way. Why does it bring that verse? Because in the same way, Adam and Chava were permitted to eat of everything in Gan Eden, except for that one tree. They couldn't contain their desire and they sinned. And we do some similar things, but we're going to need to go to break, William. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this concept of Purim, about monkeys and elephants. I promise you, we're going to get to the fun stuff and to laughter. So stick with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah on Israel News Talk Radio.
Nice.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
With us here on the Science of Kabbalah and Israel News Talk Radio. So before the break, William, we were talking about Haman and we were talking about the fact that he had everything that a person could want in the physical sense. And we were kind of making the comparison with that midrash that brought up Adam and Chava and the idea that they also had the ability to have anything they wanted in Gan Eden, in the garden, except for that one tree. And yet for them, it wasn't enough, in the same way that Haman had everything, but because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him, he also thought everything was just worthless. And it kind of reminds us of us sometimes, because we do similar things. Sometimes I think we don't realize how much we've been given, how much we have, even though sometimes the world can seem like it's cold and depressing in this winter. Here we are in the last month. And so the problem is that when we get that attitude, it's almost that we're acting in the same way, in a spiritual sense, like Haman, like Amalek. And that's really hard to take when you hear that about yourself. But the great thing about this, what I said was, is this idea that we have that ability, that paradigm shift in the month of Adar. We have the ability to overcome it.
Right. And it's kind of like, it almost makes it feel like it's the whole idea of Amalek is almost a warning against ungratefulness. Because if you think about it, that's kind of where it all stems from coveting and from wanting more than what you have. And it still makes me go back to the story we mentioned a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, with the one guy wanting to find true tranquility, and they sent him to that rabbi in the far Middle East or whatever. And remember I told you that story with this guy was like, looked like he was impoverished, and the rabbi looks at, or that this old man looks at the young kid, says, "What are you talking about? I've never struggle or suffered a day in my life." And it looked like it was a life of suffering, you know? Right. So it's all about your approach to things. So I think it's a really great lesson for me, at least.
You're really connected. You're connecting with this. And I always love how you bring in these insights, because you don't know how connected you are in this teaching. Because in bringing up what you brought up, one of the very things that you're talking about, this idea of being grateful, is one of the things that's brought up in the teachings related to this month in Kabbalah, because it has to do with the idea of being grateful. Because sometimes what happens is we're only grateful after things are taken away from us. Like once we have something and then it's gone, then suddenly we're grateful for it. And the thing that we're meant to learn in this month is that we're meant to learn to be grateful for what we have now, not for those things that we had and we lost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the most difficult thing to do. And the most difficult thing to do is to laugh when things are going bad. That's why we bring up this idea of the concept of monkey business, because the letter kaf is also the Hebrew word for monkey. And the work of Adar is this idea to choose to see the whole world as an imitation of Hashem to see him, even though that he's concealed, instead of just seeing the monkey.
Right. And, you know, like you said, was explaining the shape of the letter Kuf. You know, it's like the way I kind of see it is like I've got a sheet of paper in front of me now that's got like the lines across it where you write on for school, spiral notebook. And it's like when I write the letter Kuf, that one letter Kuf sticks down below the baseline, below the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I look at that and I'm thinking, if that was the earth, if that was like the ground level, you know, no one walks around walking to work thinking, you know, I should go under ground to get to work. Breaching the surface of the ground is never in our mind. But in times of trouble or whatever the case may be, I can see that as almost it's saying, you know, if you dig deep, you can find that solitude, but you have to dig for it. You can't just like let things take you by storm.
Yeah, very true. The interesting thing is that when you're talking about the letters, the Hebrew Aleph Bet is so much different than every other language. There's such a level of holiness to it. It's actually taught in the Kabbalah, and I think maybe we'll do a show on it one of these days, related to each one of the Hebrew letters. It's said that each one of the Hebrew letters appeared before Hashem actually in reverse order, starting with the Tav, each one of them coming and explaining why Hashem should create the world using them. And then it goes into the whole idea of why the Torah started with the idea of Bet instead of Aleph. But the interesting thing about the Tav, and I was actually reading a little bit about this over Shabbat, was the Tav, it said, wanted to go below the line, but Hashem wouldn't allow it. And that's why you see that little curled up end on the end of the Tav, because it wanted to go below the line, but Hashem wouldn't allow it and made it curl back up. So we'll talk about that in a future show.
Okay.
So look, laughter is a strange thing in a way. I mean, we see that Avram in Genesis chapter 17, Avram Avinu, the patriarch, he laughs when Hashem tells him after he has his Brit Milah, after he has his circumcision, that Sarah is going to bear a child. I mean, you know, think about how old they were at the time. Ramban Nachmanides explains that laughter is a natural response to experiencing the unexpected. We talked about earlier, I was talking about a BBC news article that was run several years ago where they talked about this idea of why people laugh when they're tickled. And they said that these evolutionary biologists and neuroscientists came to the conclusion that we laugh when our brain, actually we laugh when we're tickled, it said, because that part of the brain that tells us to laugh when we experience a light touch that we consider a tickle actually comes from the hypothalamus. And it's said that that's the same part that tells us to expect a painful sensation. So I thought that that's very interesting when we're talking about these dualities and we're talking about parallels and actually contradictions and opposites, that isn't it funny that the place that causes us to laugh is also the place where we can experience the sensation of pain as well. So it shows how much we have to be invested in this, in the idea of looking at the month of Adar, in this idea of turning it around, in this idea of the paradigm shift. And we see that's supported by the idea that in the book of Esther, in I think it's chapter 9, I believe it's verse 1, there's a word that says v'nahafuch, and that it's the idea that this idea that Haman wanted to see the Jewish people destroyed, and it was turned around. And I said, even in modern Hebrew, this idea of hafuch means upside down. And I always relate it to my coffee. My favorite coffee drink is, we call here in Israel, Cafe Hafuch, which is an upside down coffee. And I think the closest thing to it would be like a latte, because it's espresso with a lot of steamed milk. And so they call it kind of an upside down coffee. But that's the whole idea. It's this idea of the ability to have a total turning around. That in spite of the fact that Haman planned to wipe out the entire Jewish nation in one day, that day turned into a day of celebration and the defeat of the enemy of the Jewish people. But we laugh in Adar, not just because we were going to be destroyed and instead we merited salvation. We laugh in Adar, the last month of the Jewish year, because after 11 months of going through whatever we've gone through, we have the ability to change things around and go from the physical to the spiritual. And it's this idea that at the end of the day, William, with everything that we've gone through, we're still here. We're still standing.
Right.
And in our eyes, the Gashmiut, the physical pleasures, goes through its own metamorphosis in a sense, in its own metamorphosis in a way. And it becomes, it goes through this idea of nahafuch, v'nahafuch, a complete turning around. And it turns out going from physical pleasures to spiritual pleasures. We see an amazing thing in Psalm 126. And Psalm 126 is something that we in Judaism say every, we actually sing it every Shabbat in the Berakat HaMazon. Berakat HaMazon is the blessing after the meal. And we sing Sher HaMalot, which is from Psalm 126. And in the second verse of Psalm 126, it says, Az yemale sechok pinu. It's this idea, then our mouth was filled with laughter. Because it's talking about in verse 1, when Hashem restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. And dreaming is something we're going to talk about in the next segment as well, related to the monkey. And it says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Laughter has the power to turn all of our pain, all of our misery, all of the difficulty of the past year into goodness and joy. And at the end of the year, we find ourselves, as I said, still standing no matter what happened, no matter what scenarios we played out that ended up not happening to us, William. And this transformation is also alluded to in one of, in something that's called Pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzhak, which literally means fear will laugh. And this, again, is the theme of Purim, because laughter is linked with the ability to turn things around, because there's nothing, there's no greater medicine in the world than laughter. Even science will tell you. In right. fact, its healing potential is so great that it can cure even the most difficult of maladies. And when we relate this to our physical bodies, I mentioned also that there is also an organ related to each month, according to Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah teaches that the spleen is connected to Adar. Now, the spleen is said to be considered the controller of the sense of laughter. I don't know why the spleen is considered that, but it is. So I promise you, we've talked a lot about Adar. We've talked about all these different things and laughter. But I promise you, in the last segment, you're going to know why we're calling it What's All This Monkey Business. So, William, stay with me. And listeners, please stay with us. We'll be right back here on The Science of Kabbalah on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah. Rolling into the idea of laughter, we all know laughter is good for the soul. Well, what about a double dose of laughter? So that's kind of what we're talking about now. Adar, we're in this leap year scenario where we have 2 months of Adar. So, Rob, please enlighten us more on what kind of an impact should this have on us here?
Right.
So, and are we going to be celebrating Purim twice? Both months, or is it a one-time celebration? How does all that work?
No, I wish, because it's interesting. We have the Kedusha and the holiness. When you're talking about this idea of physical pleasures and spiritual pleasures, we know that, like, for instance, on Yom Kippur, we fast and we stay away from all kind of physical pleasures. But there are actually opinions in Judaism that Purim is actually almost as holy, if not holier than Yom Kippur, if you can believe that. And yet on Purim, we drink and we give gifts and we eat. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to drink to the point that it says that we don't know the difference between bless Mordechai and curse Haman.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, but we see this idea that seven times every 19 years, we have 2 months of Adar. We have a leap year. And like this year, also the year I was born was a leap year. And so it's amazing that, in a sense, when we look at months, the months that we have, Hebrew months can be 29 or 30 days, but having 2 months of Adar, we have 60 days. So we kind of have this double dose that you're talking about. Now, when you talk about this idea of nullifying things or completely turning things around, there's an amazing concept with the number 60 in Judaism that's related to the laws of Kashrut. And it's the idea of 1/60th or a 60 to 1 ratio. A lot of people know that in Kashrut, you're not allowed to mix milk and meat together, right? It's a big no-no. And so let's say I was cooking some beef stew on the stove, and while this beef stew was cooking, I decided to have some milk and cookies. And as I left the refrigerator, I slipped on a banana peel that was on the floor, and the milk happened to go into the pot. Well, most people would think automatically it would make the beef stew non-kosher. But the truth is that 60 to 1 ratio teaches us that if there's 60 times more beef stew than there is milk, then the law of nullification, or what we call bittul, kicks in, and this makes the entire mixture actually perfectly kosher. So with this double dose of laughter, we have this power to nullify and sweeten any bitter taste that's left over from all these months preceding the month of Adar. So let's get into monkey business now.
Okay.
Because I said that we have this concept. And I don't know about you, William, but if you've ever gone to the zoo, to me, there's no more entertaining animal at all than when you stand in front of the monkey cage.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there was and I think it was in Ada, Oklahoma. They had this park, and it was just a park. But in the center of this park, they had this in-ground. It was huge. It was probably 150 foot diameter concrete wall that went down about 16 feet down into the ground, and it was about 4 feet above the ground. 3.5, 4 feet, and then they had the metal cage went above that, and inside there was a monkey exhibit. Mm-hmm. And we used to I could sit there for hours and just watch these monkeys. You could just see so much personality and see them chasing each other and bouncing off things and climbing. And it's, honestly, when I think of monkeys, it makes me want to go climb a tree and goof off. Yeah, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, so now we're going to connect a little bit of Kabbalah and science here, because whether you know this or not, there are those that actually believe that monkeys are actually capable of smiling and laughing. And there's actually another study going on with rats. I think I talked to you about this earlier, in this idea that there are people that are trying to, scientists that are actually trying to tickle rats in order to come up with a happy pill, a pharmaceutical grade happy pill. Now, I don't know what these guys are on. I don't know what you have to take, right. What kind of happy pill you have to take to tickle rats all day, but how would you even tickle a rat?
I would have a hard time finding something to tickle it with.
I know. But when we're talking about monkeys, so that idea of, actually, believe it or not, scientists believe that human laughter came or evolved from the kind of sounds that the monkeys make when they play with each other. And there's actually a psychologist that did a study in the UK where she took recordings, like digital recordings, of chimps, of gorillas and orangutans, and humans and their laughter, and she compared the vocal similarities between the noises that the chimps and so forth were making, and showing how close, in a sense, it was to human laughter. Even funnier than that is that there are non-human primates that don't just laugh. There's actually evidence that they crack their own jokes. And there's actually this gorilla in Woodside, California called Coco that's learned more than 2,000 words and 1,000 different American Sign Language signs. And when she's been asked questions, she's been known to use different words for the same question. So, for instance, they once asked her to, she thought was something that was hard. And she used sign language for rock. And then when she was asked again, she said work. So rock is hard and also work is hard.
And, that's funny.
And then they said that she actually once tied the shoelaces of her trainer together and then signed to the trainer for them to chase her. So that shows you that the monkeys can have some monkey business. And it says that the Baal Shem Tov once related that the snake strikes fear because it was created from the essence of fear. But on the other hand, the relationship between the monkey and the month of Adar, we can say that the monkey makes us laugh because it was created from the essence of laughter. I said that verse in Tehillim was significant because it talked about dreaming as well. And so there's another connection that's made with that letter Kaf and this idea of monkey connected to the elephant. And not only to the elephant, but the Kaf means the eye of the needle. And that's really monkey business when you think about it, because I know what most people think about when they hear the eye of the needle.
Right, right, right.
I mean, what do you think about when I say that?
You know, the story, my favorite story of all, and the one that I believed wholeheartedly, was, of course, the parallel, or not the parallel, but the story in Matthew about this easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven, or whatever. And the thing I liked about it, actually the several things that I really thought was impressive about it, was the story that they attached to it, which I think I'm finding out may not be true. And I'm sure you're going to clarify that here in just a minute, about the camel going through the eye of a needle, was in reference to one of the gates, like a gate surrounding a small city in Jerusalem or in the holy area, that little man entry gate was called the eye of a needle. And I was thinking, well, I guess that would make sense then, you know? So, but yeah, that's kind of where my brain goes when you say that.
Right. So that's it. So it's interesting because that's exactly what most people think about. And this is what tour guides teach, and this is what pastors preach on. But the truth is that nothing could be further from the truth. It may sound really good, but there's no Jewish text, there's no Christian text that actually proves it. And there is no gate within a gate that's called the eye of the needle. It's actually really a mistranslation from, or a misinterpretation of, the Talmud that we read about in Brachot, in the tractate Brachot, which means blessings, in 55b, where there's a long discussion about dreams. That's why I said, remember that idea of dreams that we read in Psalm 126, because it goes into this long discussion about dreams. And then at the end of 55b, it says that Rabbah said, this is proved by the fact that a man is never shown in a dream a date palm of gold or an elephant going through the eye of a needle. So we saw that the monkey represents this idea of laughter. So we kind of need to understand what an elephant represents as well. And the elephant really comes out from a midrash that we read in Perek Shira, which was written also by King David, like Tehillim. And it's about all these different things, even in nature, praising God, whether it's trees or the sky or water or rivers. And then it talks about animals in chapter 4, and it says, the elephant is saying, it says, Pil Omer, Magad Luma Secha Hashem, Ma'od Amku Machshivotecha. This idea of how great are your works, Hashem, your thoughts are tremendously deep. So we have the greatest of animals, the biggest of animals, talking about the greatness of Hashem, and the greatness of Hashem is always related to creation itself. So this idea of elephants going through the eye of the needle, You really have to have a good sense of humor, William, and a lot of laughter to discuss the ideas.
Creativity,
yeah, to come up with these idea of monkeys playing jokes on people or elephants going through the eye of a needle. Yet, this is exactly the gift that the month of Adar gives us. Just as we mentioned in previous weeks about the concealment and revelation, the month of Adar's joy originates in our ability to kind of transcend the concealment of God's infinite presence and to see that everything is indeed with his total divine providence. We don't have a lot of time left, so I want to give our information. If anybody has any questions about the science of Kabbalah, if you want to make suggestions about things you'd like to hear us talk about on the show, you can send me an email at ira@israelnewstalkradio.com. Ira is my English name. Or you can send an email to ravyitzchak@kabbalahproject.com. And if you want to reach William, you can reach him at
TanakhTalk.com. Well, actually, that's the website. TanakhTalk@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, it's TENAK. I know it's a misspelling, but that was the only website we had available. Just a click. Okay.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, William. It was a great show. Thanks for being with me, and thanks everybody for listening.
Wonderful. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.